when you take your Bibles and turn, I'm going to say the book of Malachi. And it won't be hard for you to find Malachi, because Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Malachi 4, verses 4 and 5. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and the ordinances which I command him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. This is Advent Sunday. And Advent Sunday has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 4, the book of Malachi, completes the what is known as the Old Testament canon, the Old Testament scriptures. After Malachi, for 400 years, nothing was heard again in terms of inspired writing, inspired writers, are prophets. That period of time from Malachi to the book of Matthew is known as the silent period. It is known as that not because there was silence from activities going on, but it was known as the silent period because during that time the voice of God was muted as a result of the disobedience of the people of God. God had not spoken for 400 years. There were activities going on, things were happening, but nothing to which we can attribute to God's direct intervention, apart from His providence, with the people of Israel at that time. I don't think that anyone loves to live with a silent period. I have a friend who sometimes we talk and he says, I'm going home, and I'll say to him, you're going home to your wife? He said, yeah. I'm going home to some cold shoulders. Sometimes that might be true. Silent period is not a nice time through which to live. And I assume that Israel did not enjoy the time of what is known as a silent period. I want to talk just for a brief moment on breaking the silence. Breaking the silence from Malachi to Matthew. What is the silent period? I suggest to you that there are three areas in which silence is an anguish to the soul. The first is the silence of the soul itself. This is the soul that remembers how God used to speak to it. This is the soul that remembers how it used to hold communion with God. This is the soul that used to remember going to the house of God with a sense of excitement, with a sense of anticipation, going to the house of God with a sense of looking forward to getting there, and sometimes not wanting to leave there at all, because things were so exciting, things were so vibrant, things were so alive, things really happened there. But something happens, and God becomes a stranger to the soul. Something happens, and God no longer speaks. Something happens, and there is silence between me and God. My soul is no longer excited about opening the Word of God. I suggest to you that Psalm 32 gives us some bit of a glimpse of what happens when the soul becomes the object of the silence from God. In Psalm 32, David said this, I groan in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit, because God was no longer speaking. When I kept silence, my bones roared. I groaned. There was no sleep to my eyes. There was no peace in my heart. There was absolutely no sense of satisfaction in my being because God was silent. What had happened? David had actually caused God to be silent to him because of his sin with Bathsheba. And David, things were happening around David. David still kept up the activities. David still did some of the things, but deep down inside, David knew that there was no reality, that God was silent to him. And dear friends, I wonder if I'm speaking to someone to whom God is a stranger to the soul now. There are no longer times of communion between God and me. I go through my Christian life, I have the book, but it's not open anymore, because everything I do, everything I experience simply speaks to me of silence. My prayers do not go higher than the ceiling. My faith seems to be wavering, and there is absolute silence between me and God. One writer puts it this way in a song: "Return, O heavenly dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, because there is unrest in my soul. I hate the sin that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast." No communion, silence between God and me. And my friends, that silence is not a happy occasion. When God no longer speaks, when my soul no longer anticipates, when my faith is weak, and when I succumb to whatever comes my way, because there is silence between me and God. There's a second silent period in the experience of what I call the silence among the saints. The silence among the saints. I suggest to you that there are three areas in which we see silence among the saints. There's a silence in the home. Silence in the home, where spouses no longer communicate with each other. I read of it. Okay. Where two sisters lived in the same home for over 30 years and they had never spoken to each other for 30 years. To communicate, they would put notes down. And there were lines where one would not cross the other in a home where they lived. I know of silence, my friends. I read it all the time between husband and wife, where there's no communication, where there are, several years ago, there was a song titled Two Different Worlds. Some of you might remember that. Two Different Worlds. We live in two different worlds, and there is silence in the home. Time would not permit to go through some of them, but I want to give you one of my favorite. It's the where else? Freddie Flintstones. It's Fred and Wilma. And Fred and Wilma had a knockout situation. And Fred no longer wanted to talk to Wilma, and Wilma no longer wanted to talk to Fred. And may I suggest to you, friends, that what you see in some of these programs are mirroring what happens in people's lives. That's the reason they write of them. And Fred goes over to Barney's house and stays there because he doesn't want to speak to Wilma. And Betty goes over from Barney's house and stays with Wilma because she wants to console her. And so the way they communicated was that Fred will tell Barney what to say to Wilma, and Wilma will tell Betty what to say to Barney to go back and tell to Fred. And there was silence. But my friends, is this just a comedy? Do we not hear, if you please, of marriages that are breaking up because they are no longer compatible, there's no communication? Silence. I always remember, I think I told you the story, when we lived in Thornhill, I would be driving my wife to school, and there was silence. Nothing was wrong. Nothing was wrong. We were just enjoying each other. And then there were other times when I was taking her and there was silence. And something was wrong. And something was wrong. And there's silence in the home, the agony of a Christian home where there is silence. But then there's silence among the saints. There's silence among the saints. Just as there was a silent period for 400 years, there's silence among the saints, even in the church, where Christians no longer speak to Christians. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, that wonderful little book of Philippians, that glorious book of Philippians, the only fly in the ointment, are two people who will not speak to each other, Euodias and Syntyche. And there's a very interesting thing with this, because Paul says in Philippians 4, I plead with Euodias and I plead with Syntyche, which means that they were standing off in church. They were standing off. And Paul had to plead with them. I said, I plead with these two ladies who worked with me, who shared the gospel responsibilities with me. But here they are now. Something has happened. And it is not that one will not attempt. Neither one will. And Paul had to plead with both of them. I beseech you. I plead with you. And what a tragedy when there is silence among the saints. Thirdly, there's silence in the workplace. Silence in the workplace. I mean, how many of you just really love to go to work and run up to your boss and say, it is so wonderful to be here Monday morning? There are some friends, there are some bosses where that takes place. Read the book of Ruth. Wonderful relationship. But I know and I have read and I've listened to people who have told about gossips that go on the workplace, and following tomorrow morning you go to work and the people who used to talk with you give you the cold shoulders. They no longer respond to you, and there's silence in the workplace. Perhaps at school, where I used to run around with this friend, or this past week, did we not hear of a young girl who was beaten, if you please, because the one girl didn't like the fact that she was going with her brother? Silence in the workplace. Now, I'm being general here, friends, but you can apply it. Silence, silence, silence. As there were 400 years of silence between God and His people, so there is silence in the home. There is silence in the church. There is silence in the workplace. How then do we break the silence? What is the key to bringing people together again so that there will not be silence, there will be communication, and there will be restoration, there will be relationships that take place? I suggest to you that Christmas is the answer. The book of Matthew opens with God breaking the silence. How does God break the silence? He breaks it supernaturally. Look at the way He does it. This is the record of the birth of Christ. He brings a baby, but that baby is the incarnate Lord. And if God is going to break the silence that He has with His people, it must be done supernaturally. It cannot be done naturally. You see, because you and I are not natural restorers, we want it, in the words of Frank Sinatra, my way. And God is saying, it is not, listen to what Paul says with these two ladies. It is not that one is right and one is wrong. He says, I plead with them to agree in the Lord, except the Lord becomes a part of the restoration, my friends, of breaking the silence. We continue to experience just the silence. But God comes, and He comes into our world with all its darkness and with all its lack of communication, and He brings a baby who will cause the father to speak to the children and the children to speak to the fathers, who will bring the two ladies together from Philippians, who will bring the two people together from whatever church it might be, who will bring the people together and the job where they are, because God will give the ability through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to actually do what needs to be done. Christmas, my friends, is where God breaks the silence. We did not penetrate His light. His light penetrated our darkness. We did not speak first. He spoke first. And He came into the world and He spoke to us so that we might know that God has done everything to make it possible for us to speak once again to Him. And once we begin to speak with God, we begin to speak with one another. There's the breaking of the silence that is supernatural. There's the breaking of the silence that is bedded in Scripture. Matthew 1:22. All this was done that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. May I suggest to you, my friends, that in the Scriptures we have instructions given by God as to how to break the silence and to keep the communication going. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another. A Spirit-filled life breaks down the resistance not to speak. And I pray that God will give it to us at this Christmas time. The Scriptures contain all the instructions that we will ever need to maintain our communication one with another. So God has spoken in Scripture. Listen, in the home, the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, it speaks to the husband and the wife as to how they should relate and the children. In the house of the Lord, Matthew 18, Ephesians chapter 5, speaks to how we should behave in the house of the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, how we behave in the work, Colossians chapter 3, verse and 22 to 4, 1, how we behave in the workplace. Peter summarizes this for us by saying, God has given us great and precious promises because in his promises is everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. But I want to suggest to you that he breaks the silence between us and God, the silence between us in our homes is where someone is willing to submit to God. Joseph said, the Scripture says, and all that the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, Joseph did. All that the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, Joseph did. Now I'm looking around. Is my son up here? Oh, there he is. Now I have to say what I was going to say. But my son, like your sons and daughters, hate taking medicine. I mean, he hates it. His eyes itch because he's plagued with allergies as I am. And I'll say to him, the only thing that will help your eyes from itching is for me to put drops in it. I don't want to put drops in my eyes. He's coughing at nights. He's young enough to endure this. And I say to him, listen, the only thing that will help you to stop cough is that you get the medicine. Does it taste good? Dear friends, it was said in humor. But isn't it true that we might have the cure right there, but it will do nothing for us until we take it? Not until we're willing to submit to what God says will we ever experience the joy of reconciliation through the Scriptures, which gives us the opportunity to do it as God says it is to be done. And when that takes place, the silence is broken. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And people who come into our church or into our homes can tell something wonderful is here because these people not only speak with God, God not only speaks with them, but they speak with one another and they speak to the world. The silence is broken supernaturally. The silence is broken scripturally. And the silence is broken through our submission to what God reveals. You might not know the writer Judson W. Van Deventen. What a name. Judson W. Van Deventen. Who is he? He wrote a song, my friends, that speak of what happens when we submit. It is this song that you know very well. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. All that the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, he did. And the Christmas story is preserved for us, my friends, in the obedience of Joseph. And the obedience of Mary. Be it unto me as the Lord has said. My friends, if there is silence this morning, may God by His Spirit break in on us so that we might break in and break out with one another.